I appreciate the fact that we really have something for everyone based on your need, based on the season of life you're in, based on your interests, from birth all the way to what we call prime timers. Our prime timers are meeting right now on the university campus, those that are kind of like in their 70s and older. And so we have something for everyone. And the women's events that we have are an opportunity for women in this church to connect and to, as my wife was sharing, experience community together. So please take advantage of these opportunities. I was talking to somebody this past week, and he's a husband, a father, a business owner here in Lubbock, and attends Trinity. And you know, we all go through different struggles every now and then. And I said, you know, some of our men meet every Friday morning. There's a men's gathering. And I told him that the day prior. The following day, one of our leaders texted me and said, hey, so-and-so showed up at the men's meeting. I'm like, thank God, thank God. We could direct people, whether you're a young married couple, single, there's something for everyone. The phone is ringing, and I'm going to answer, hello? Pastor Carl, do you have voter registration there at Trinity today? Yes, we do. If I leave my house right now, will I miss the message? Yes, you will. You can watch on your way, though, but you can still sign up. Okay, I'll see you here. Bye. There you go. All right. Voter registration is so important, and we are registering people to vote. In this last presidential election, you know, 40 million evangelicals, that's a fancy word that describes people who profess faith in Christ. Whether it's sincere or not, I hope so, I don't know. But 40 million did not vote. Another 20 million weren't even registered to vote. That's a travesty. I shared a lesson with our staff that maybe I'll be sharing with you. Seven reasons, biblically, principles in God's Word, why we should vote. Now, all kinds of notifications going out. That was a joke earlier. Let's just mute our phones. How's that? Amen? One of the reasons is because we're to render to Caesar what is Caesar's. And part of rendering to Caesar is not only paying your taxes, but helping to send representatives who determine how to tax us to places of positions of authority and responsibility. So render to Caesar what Caesar's, that's paying taxes and voting, and render to God what's God. So when you do vote, you're to render to God what's God. In that private personal voting booth, you are to take your Bible with you. Literally, that would help. And you are to vote not your values, you're to vote God's values, particularly when it comes to the sanctity of life, the sacredness of marriage, and the freedom that ultimately comes from God. Keep that in your heart and your mind when you vote. But you can't do any of that if you're not registered to vote. So please, my friend, register to vote. We're in a series, and what is the series that we're in? What's it called? Hope. I hope you were going to get that right. Hope, which is the real crisis. We're going to be reading from the book of Romans, chapter 4, beginning in verse 17, really just two verses of Scripture. As you know, our custom is, out of love and respect and esteem for the Scriptures, as we read them, please stand to your feet. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our Father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Let us pray. God, we thank you for Abraham and the story of Abraham, a story of faith, struggle, failure, recovery, and hope. It can be our story, Lord. Thank you that against all hope, this man in hope believed. Teach us what that means today by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray and ask in the name that's above every name, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. You got to love Abraham. He was a man of hope. And the Bible says, against all hope, in hope believe. Hope is mentioned twice there. Isn't that interesting? Why is hope mentioned twice in Romans chapter 4 and verse 18? Because, my friend, there are two types of hope. There is a natural hope, and then there is a supernatural hope. There is a physical, natural hope. There is a spiritual hope. And Abraham, against all natural hope, the circumstances were completely and totally against the fulfillment of God's promise in his life. Against all hope, in hope, he believed. This is going to be an unusual message because I don't have 3 points. I really have only 1 point, and that's my point. Hoping against all hope. How, when you find yourself, it seems like the circumstances are against you, the obstacles are beyond your capacity to overcome, against all hope, in hope, you can still believe. If you're with us last week, a quick refresher, what is hope? What is biblical hope? Well, here's what it's not. Hope isn't wishful thinking. Hope isn't, hope in God isn't delusional. Hope isn't merely an assumption that a positive outcome is inevitable. And hope is more than Merriam-Webster's dictionary's definition of hope, which simply states to expect with confidence. No, my friend, hope is a confident belief in God so rock solid that it leads to purposeful action. Once again, what is biblical hope? It is a confident belief in God so rock solid that it leads you to purposeful action. Not just wishful thinking, but doing something to bring about what you are hoping for on the horizon of your life. Now, the situation you may find yourself in today or at some point in time in your future may be very serious. But no matter how serious it is, I want to tell you today, it's not hopeless. No matter how serious the crisis may be in our nation or in our future or in your marriage, in your home, in your family, in your job, in your work, in your health, no matter how serious it is, with God, it's never hopeless. One of my favorite quotes going through this pandemic I came across is G.K. Chesterton. He said this, "We're all in the same boat in a stormy sea, and we owe each other a terrible loyalty." I love that. All Americans, we're all in the same ship, one nation under God, and we're going through a stormy sea, and we owe each other, whether we agree with each other or not, we owe each other love, especially as Christians. We're to love our enemies. We're to love our neighbors. And we're all in this stormy sea in the same ship, and we owe each other a terrible, I love that phrase, a terrible loyalty. What's the stormy sea that you may find yourself in today? Maybe it's the stormy sea of grief over the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's the stormy sea of depression that you're battling right now. Maybe it's the stormy sea of a marriage which has ended. Maybe it's the stormy sea of your best friend or a coworker who has betrayed you. Maybe it's the stormy sea of a lost job. Maybe it's the stormy sea of kids on drugs or involved in an alternate lifestyle. Maybe it's the stormy sea of terminal sickness. Maybe it's the stormy sea of being a shut-in in a nursing home. Maybe it's the stormy sea of prison because of one bad choice. However serious the situation may be that you find yourself in today, I want you to know today, friend, it's not hopeless. Because with God, there's always hope. Against all natural hope, in hope, you and I can still believe. You know, Abraham is possibly the most famous person in the world today. Did you know that? It's not LeBron James. It's not some superstar athlete. The most famous person in the world is Abraham. You say, well, Jesus is. Well, to us, Jesus is the most famous that's ever lived and will ever live. He is the King of Glory. But to everyone else on planet Earth, the three world religions, the three monolithic world religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, all trace their spiritual lineage back to this man mentioned here in Genesis and throughout the Bible, Abraham. You see, every Jew considers Abraham their father through the promised child, Isaac. Every Christian looks at Abraham as their spiritual father through the spiritual lineage, through the promised son, Isaac. And every Muslim considers Abraham their spiritual father through the lineage of Ishmael. So Abraham is one of the most significant figures in all of human history. And imagine God appeared to him. God just didn't speak to him. The scripture says God appeared to this man, Abram, when he was living in Ur of the Chaldees. His father, Terah, was an idol worshiper, and God called him into covenant relationship with himself, and God gave him a promise. And that promise was that through his son, the nations of the world would be blessed, that ultimately a Savior would come into the world through his lineage, resulting ultimately in God's kingdom coming to the earth. All that was on Abraham's shoulders, and God probably added, but no pressure, Abraham, no pressure, right? Like the whole world is dependent on you and Sarah getting this one right. Well, from the moment that God made that promise until the fulfillment of that promise was like 25 plus years. He was around 70 when God made this promise. He thought it would happen within 6 months or within a year or two or three. But after 25 plus years, like nothing's happening, right? So then, you know, Sarah had a great idea. Here's my maidservant Hagar. Why don't you marry her? Maybe she'll give you a son, because it's not going to happen with the two of us. And yet it did. And even though Abraham had some personal failures and setbacks, ultimately, the plan of God was fulfilled in his life. Because against all hope, natural hope, in hope, he still believed. And he had to, because he was close to 100 and Sarah was 90. And that's when the miracle happened. Against all hope, in hope, he believed. You may be going through a hopeless season right now. You may be facing what appears to be a hopeless situation, like so many people in the Bible had faced. Whether it was Job, his situation was serious, but at no time was it hopeless. Or Joseph in the Old Testament, his situation being sold by his brothers as a slave and being a slave in Egypt and being falsely accused and thrown in an Egyptian dungeon. It was serious, yes, very serious, but never at any time was it hopeless. You may be going through a serious time of suffering right now, but my friend, it's not hopeless. Against all hope, in hope, you can still believe. I was thinking about some of the most depressing places in the world. Where would you think some of the most depressing places in the world might be? Well, I did some research, right? And in New Zealand, there's a place called Disappointment Island. I won't be taking a vacation to Disappointment Island anytime soon, but sometimes we find ourselves on our own island, isolated in our own disappointment. In Colorado, there's a place called Bowl of Tears. How would you like to be from that region of the country? Bowl of Tears, right? It reminds me of the psalmist in the book of Psalms talked about the Valley of Baca, which is the Valley of Weeping. Sometimes we find ourselves, right, let's be honest, in life. How many of you at some point in time in your life have found yourself in your own bowl of tears? Can we get some honesty in here? And remember, you're in good company, because on three different occasions, even Jesus wept. Even Jesus wept on three separate occasions in the Gospels. In San Lucas, Cabo San Lucas, Mexico, there's the turquoise waters of a calm and beautiful beach called Lover's Beach. We all want to be there, don't we, on Lover's Beach, right? But if you take a wrong turn, you'll reach the counterpart beach to Lover's Beach. And guess what it's called? Divorce Beach, there in Cabo San Lucas. You don't want to book a trip there, friend. Sometimes we find ourselves going through a difficult time in our marriage. And it's serious, yes, but it's not hopeless. It's not hopeless. There's a place in Australia called Broke Australia. I didn't say bloke. That's another term those Australians use. I said broke. Where are you from? I'm from Broke Australia. I'd rather be from Blessing Australia, if there is such a thing, right? Nobody. But sometimes you might find yourself in your own broke place. And it's serious, but it's not hopeless. There's a place called Alone, Italy. There's actually in Italian, alone means halo or shroud. Sometimes we find ourselves in our own alone Italy, right? We find ourselves in a place of being alone, feeling alone, and loneliness, and how serious that could be. And yet it's not hopeless. Against all hope, in hope, you can still believe. And then there's a place in Vegas, Las Vegas, called Broken Heart Street. I think a lot of people come out of Vegas having traveled through Broken Heart Street. Have you ever been on a flight to Las Vegas, Nevada? My father used to live there when he was alive, and so I went there several times, and everybody is in a great mood. Man, the liquor, back then pre-COVID days, the liquor was flowing, the people were laughing and loud and rambunctious and excited. That same flight coming back, they're all passed out, you know, half comatose, you know, on oxygen, you know, like, they've been on Broken Heart Street there in Las Vegas. Yeah, the situation you may be going through may be serious, but friend, it's not hopeless. You know, there are so many stories of men and women throughout history, not only in the Bible, but just throughout history, whose stories are so inspiring. Men like Frederick Douglass, former slave, abolitionist, he finally got his freedom, and then he became a great scholar and, in one sense, a founding father. The things he wrote about freedom and the Constitution. You know, Frederick Douglass, former slave, who was a Republican, by the way, he praised the Constitution of the United States of America. He said, the Constitution of the United States of America says, we the people, not we the white people. And that's why he felt he could defend the Constitution, even though initially it seemed as though the Constitution didn't defend him or those that came from Africa and were slaves. He said it's not the Constitution's fault, it was the application of the Constitution that was at fault. His story of the suffering that he went through, when you read his story, is so inspiring that it was serious. But he never lost hope of being a free man. I think of one of the greatest business lessons and leadership lessons in all of life is the story of Sir Ernest Shackleton, the Antarctic expedition, and he and his men got trapped in an ice floe. The ship got crushed. They had to live on an ice floe for 10 months. And he didn't lose a single man. He never lost hope. And when you read his story, you find out during that entire 10-month ordeal, the leader that he was and the leadership that came out of him, only one time did he lose his cool. Only one time did he swear, cuss, and get angry. And as soon as he finished that, because what are those birds that can fly like for 100 miles over the ocean? Albatross? Anyway, some bird, they were making their final trip to Elephant Island to try to find and rescue the men that they had to leave behind. You know the story, many of you read it. And this bird kept harassing them, and he stood up and cussed the bird and got angry, and then he sat down and realized. He realized how important to maintain the morale of his men that he never lost his cool, except that one time. And then it was just three other guys on the boat, on that little boat with him, and he apologized. It's these stories like that, a serious situation. Most of us would have just given up and just died, you know, never heard of again. But he had hope. Against all hope, he still hoped. I'm going to tell you a story today about an individual that most of us have never heard about. My entire life, I never heard about, except in my reading several months ago, I came across this man's name and this man's story. His name is Witold Pilecki. He was a Polish war hero. He was a decorated officer in the Polish-Soviet War in 1918. He sent those pinko commies back to Mother Russia with their legs between their tails during the attack of the communists in Poland there in World War I. He loved Poland. He loved a free Poland. Well, after World War I, this hero, he went to live in the Polish countryside. He married a school teacher, had two kids, and he enjoyed doing the things in life he loved doing, riding horses and smoking his favorite cigars. And then all of a sudden, World War II started when Hitler and his Blitzkrieg Nazi troops invaded Poland, and in one month, overcame Poland. Well, matters got worse. Not only were they being invaded by Poland, but they were being invaded again by the Soviet communist regime. And talk about being between a rock and a hard place. And what Witold Pilecki did is he and some other soldiers formed a military resistance underground Polish army to fight against the invasion of the Germans and the Soviets. And initially, according to history and according to what was written, the communists were crueler than the Nazis initially. Within several months, they shipped off over 1 million Poles out of Poland to go to Siberia to be a part of their prison camps. Many to this day have never been found, and decades ago, mass graves were uncovered where innocent Polish people were slaughtered by the communists. This is what this man, Witold Pilecki, was up against. And here's what makes his story amazing. He's the only man in history that we know of that actually broke into a Nazi concentration camp. When they heard the rumors of the Germans building a concentration camp, which was as large as a small town in Warsaw, Auschwitz is what the name of it was, he, against the advice of his superiors, volunteered to break into that camp, actually get himself arrested so that he could begin to build a resistance and a mutiny and save his fellow Polish soldiers and officers that had been sent to Auschwitz. This is such an inspiring story that of a man who, against all hope, in hope for a free Poland again, was willing to sacrifice everything to rescue his fellow countrymen. Here's a short video that I want to show you about his life. What an amazing man. What an amazing story. It was through him that the Allied forces were first to hear about the atrocities that were being committed there in Auschwitz. He was in Auschwitz the same time another man by the name of Viktor Frankl. One of the greatest stories of survival, the greatest stories of overcoming personal suffering, who survived Auschwitz, became a famous psychiatrist, wrote one of the most important books you could ever read, Man's Search for Meaning. I want to give you homework, and I mean this sincerely from the bottom of my heart. If you have never read Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl, I'm going to ask you today, tomorrow, to locate that book, download the Kindle version, whatever you need to do, borrow it from a friend. It's not a very long read, but it's his account of the suffering he went through in Auschwitz while through the eyes of a psychologist, understanding that even in the midst of deep sorrow and suffering, there can still be hope. There could still be a meaning and a purpose to your life. And I know it'll bring so much encouragement to those of you that may find yourself in a season of suffering, going through a serious situation or a serious matter. If you attach that to the spiritual hope that we have in Christ, I want you to know nothing can stop you. The enemy might be able to kill you, but that's the only way he could stop us, because we have an eternal hope. The anchor of our soul is our hope in God. Witold Pilecki, when he got there, he established underground communications with his fellow Polish officers. He made a makeshift radio. He was able to communicate with the resistance outside the concentration camp. He was about to overthrow the camp and free his fellow Poles, but then what was hard for him even to describe, when the train loads of Jews were brought to Auschwitz, and by the tens of thousands were murdered, slaughtered in the gas chambers, and burnt. Their remains burnt. He realized his plan would not succeed. So you could read the story of his heroine escape from Auschwitz, how he faked sickness, got into the hospital, and then was able to escape and go back working with the underground resistance. And eventually, as the video showed, he was killed, falsely accused by the Soviets, the communists. America, you don't want anything to do with socialism or communism. Please read history. And it was kind of like a Braveheart William Wallace moment. His final cry was freedom. All he wanted to do was fight for the freedom of Poland, because he so loved Poland and the Polish people. You know, Witold Pilecki, basically, he was a regular guy. But he could not just stand by. He had to do something. Hope that leads to purposeful action. Wow, if I were in the same shoes, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't volunteer to be arrested and be sent into the concentration camp there in Auschwitz. But he did. And then he escaped, and then he continued to work for Poland to be free and the people of Poland to be free once again. And then we have to ask ourselves the serious question, what am I doing with my life? What are each of us doing with our life? As insignificant as it might feel and seem at times for all of us, in our little circle of influence, what are we doing to make the world a better place? You see, the innocent slaughter of 11 million Jews during World War II, that was a dark, dark moment in human history. But we find ourselves living in another dark moment in human history. And it's not just 11 million innocent Jews that are being slaughtered, but up to 60 million little babies that are being aborted because abortion is legal in the United States of America. And we cannot stand back and say nothing. We cannot stand back and do nothing. We must do all that we can do, because what's on the ballot this year are children. Children are on the ballot this year. That's why I appreciate State Senator Charles Perry putting it all on the line, wanting Lubbock to be designated as a sanctuary city. I want you to know I stand with him, and I stand with every pro-life Lubbockite here in our city that says we want to do everything we can to protect the lives of children. And we don't just talk a good talk, and we don't just pontificate from the pulpit and preach against sin. We do something. We love women that find themselves broken or in a crisis pregnancy. We find them, and we have a ministry, Heartline. We have 25 life decisions so far. 25. Those are the roses that represent the 25 decisions for life that moms have made because of your prayers and your support, because of the wonderful staff and volunteers that work at Heartline. We love women that find themselves in a difficult situation. We don't judge them. We don't judge you. We don't condemn them. And even those that have had abortions, we provide surrendering the secret. We provide restoration and ministry because God is a God of love and a God of mercy and a God of restoration. But we want to do everything in our power to prevent you from having to go through that period of restoration. And we want to protect the innocent lives of children. That's why we have to question Mayor Pope. Really, sir, with all due respect, Planned Parenthood is not just another business coming to Lubbock. It's not like Market Street that provides bread and cheese and butter and milk to feed hungry people. It's not like a Southern Baptist church that provides the bread of life to those who are spiritually hungry. Planned Parenthood is committed and involved in the taking of innocent life, and we don't need them in our city. Not now, not ever, and we must take a stand. What am I doing with my life to make a difference? Am I just another American couch potato? Just concerned about my next pleasurable moment, my next form of entertainment? Am I just an armchair critic? Am I a Twitter warrior? So easy to say something on social media to say, what about purposeful action? What about doing something that could make a difference, however small it may seem? Somebody walked up to me at the end of last service and said, Pastor Carl, what can I do? I said, well, you could pray. And then you could call your city councilman, you could call the mayor's office, you can send an email, you can write a letter, you can call State Senator Charles Perry's office, you could say, how can I do some canvassing, how can I go door to door, what can I do? We must do what we could do, and once we've done all that we could do, we leave the results up to God. And all of us, against all hope, in hope we still believe, the day will come when all lives will matter. From the womb to the tomb, all lives will matter. A man that was willing to break into a concentration camp because of his hope for a free Poland. A man here, Abraham, who against all natural hope, in hope he still believed. He still clung to the promise. Even though he veered off course for a while in that Hagar debacle, he got back on track. And the promise of God was fulfilled. And the nations of the world have been blessed. And Messiah has come and will come again, all because this one man, against all hope, in hope, he believed. I love that phrase, against all hope, against. I look up the word against. Parara is the Greek word, and it means force in proximity or vicinity, pressing against something or someone. You know, in life, there is a resistance. And the resistance is that life, really, the world is against you. It's against your goals, your dreams, your hopes, your aspirations. And it's not going to come easily. Somebody once, it's a beautiful metaphor, they compared life to two school kids in a playground, one pushing the other one around. Life is like a bully pushing you around. Listen, my friend, if you don't push back, that bully will push you into non-existence. And when the bully pushes, you don't ever be the bully. But when the bully pushes, you need to push back and stand your ground. You have a reason to be here. Your existence matters. And the dream that God's placed in your heart is for a purpose, a glorious purpose. But it's going to seem, and maybe right now it seems like the whole world is against you. But my friend, if the world's against you, the Bible says, if God be for you, who could be against you? Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Don't lose hope. Witold Pilecki, his story is so inspirational. It reminds me of the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who voluntarily came to the concentration camp of this world, this sin-benighted, sin-cursed world of ours. John's gospel says he came into his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become children of God. Thank God that God so loved the world. God still loves the world. He doesn't love everything that the world does. He loves the world. He loves you. He loves me. He doesn't always love what we do. But God sent his Son, and Christ voluntarily came to this world to rescue us from the prison camp of Satan, Satan's concentration camp of sin and condemnation and damnation. And there is a way out of that bondage, and the way out is Jesus Christ. He's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. I love what Ephesians 2:12 says in closing. Can we read it out loud together? Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. That described you and me before we gave our life to Christ. We were without hope and without God in this world. That's the worst place you could find yourself to be in. To be in the world without God and without hope. But if you're in this world, as bad as it may be and as bad as it may get, if you're in this world as bad as it is, as serious as it is right now, and as serious as it may be in the days, weeks, months, and years to come, we are not a people who are ever without hope. We're in the world, but we're not of the world, and we're pilgrims passing through. We're looking for that city and builder whose maker is God, and we are going to occupy until he comes. We're going to be busy until he comes, until the eastern sky is split open and Jesus returns. We're going to remain faithful, and we're going to do all that we can to honor him, to serve him, and to make his name known. We are not without help me preach as I close today. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not without hope. Go on. You're not without hope. It may be serious. What you're going through may be serious. With a smile on my face, it's not hopeless. Terminal sickness, not hopeless. Life sentence in prison, not hopeless. Bankruptcy, not hopeless. Divorce, not hopeless. The death of a child, serious, I know, but not hopeless. Not hopeless. If you look at the horizon of your life, you, my friend, in Christ, you have a bright, bright future. His kingdom is coming. Just hold on and don't let go. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we humble ourselves today and we say we need you. We're in the world, but we're not without God, and so we're not without hope. Thank you for hope against hope. Thank you that we could believe in spite of the circumstances. Not because of the circumstances, but in spite of the circumstances. And Lord, teach us by the power of your Holy Spirit what it means to live a life where spiritual hope is a primary virtue, an anchor to our soul that we cling to. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or you need to rededicate your life to Christ, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For those of you that need to dedicate your life to Christ because you accepted Christ at some point in time in your life, but you've strayed, you've walked away, you've got, life happened and you're no longer where you need to be in your relationship with him. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're all going to pray this prayer with you, but it's so important that if you want to give your life to Christ or recommit to Christ, that you say this prayer with your own mouth and mean it from your own heart. Here we go. Dear God in heaven, I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. There's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. I call upon you, Jesus. I ask you now, come into my heart, come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I turn from sin to the true and living God. I receive his love, his grace, and his forgiveness. Dear God in heaven, you're now my Father, and I am your child. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit, and give me strength to live for you, serve you all the days of my life, beginning today for the rest of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise.